Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ruth. If you're having a hard time, find the books right after the book of Judges, just before the book of 1 Samuel. And Samuel is likely the writer of the book of Ruth. You kind of get that as we go along. It's a story about a husband who makes a poor choice and leads his family away from God. It's a story about a wife who becomes disillusioned in this choice and things go wrong. It's the story of a sinner being saved by grace and coming to God, a complete outsider, and also the story of restoration. What a great Savior we have. The book of Ruth is a wonderful, wonderful book. So let's go to Ruth and chapter 1. It says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn, wander, search, in the country of Moab." Moab is southeast of Judah. "He and his wife and his two sons." I am preaching to every child of God, every sinner saved by grace in the auditorium of Fundamental Baptist Church or watching live stream or even a radio broadcast. I have no one in mind in preaching this message because I know I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to preach right at Pastor Rader this morning, and I know it's going to hit you right between the eyes because we are so prone to wander. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own ways." The Hebrew people of the Old Testament, the word Hebrew means wanderer. We're sheep, many times without a shepherd. We have a good shepherd, but we don't follow him. And we make poor choices, just like the man we're going to read about this morning did in his life. And it might be that you are here this morning, you say, "I feel distant from God. I know I'm born again, I know I'm a child of God, but I feel out of touch so much of the time. I fail God again and again." And I want you to know that the door is open to the throne of God. For a sinner saved by grace that is being influenced by the world, and that'd be the man we're going to read about this morning, it isn't that God has drifted away from you. It's you have drifted away from God. And the words of Dr. Jim Norton have ring in my ears all the time. You're as close to God as you choose to be. And that's a fact. So here's the Lord this morning, as I'm preaching through the book of Ruth, and we just get started in it, and I'm going to end it when I end it, right on time, no matter where I am in the preaching. But there's a God in heaven who, like the father of the prodigal son, he's standing there with his arms open wide, and he's waiting for you to come home. Man, it's a red carpet welcome. He wants you home. He wants you under his protection. He wants you under the blessing, under the blessed hand of God, the good protection of God, all the blessings that God has for his children. And we wander. That's what we do, is what it is. Verse 1, I'll call your attention back to it again. "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." By the way, that day will come. The day will come when things get tough. The day will come when there's a famine in the land. The day will come when things get a little bit confusing, and all of a sudden your cup isn't running over, and you lose focus, and you become disillusioned. Do not run to the land of Moab. Do not run to Gentile country. Run back to the Good Shepherd. Run to the good hand of God. It happens in every life. It happens multiple times. It happens over and over again where we're being strengthened, tested, and strengthened by God. Sometimes we turn away from God and we get all messed up in the world. We get the world all over us. And before long, we feel like we're a long ways away from God. And if that describes you here this morning, look at verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech. Means God is my king. And the name of his wife was Naomi. Means beautiful. And the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. And they're a play on words. It means weak. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Like Lot of old, they chose the plains of Sodom because it was green. Now this is real life. This is where we're at. Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes the road gets difficult. That is not the time to leave your Savior. Man, don't turn to Moab. You're going to find out in this story, it is a great metaphor. Moab has no answers. This decision that is made by Elimelech starts a 10-year journey away from God. And things get rough. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble. Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Don't do like Elimelech and chase opportunity instead of the calling of God. Verse 3, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. It's risky to leave God's will. Now we're going to see God ends up making some good out of it. But I don't think it's what God wanted. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So 10 years, they were in Moab, learning the ways of Moab. When things go wrong, and they will, ride it out. Trust God. It is called faith. Some people in our church family got some bad news this week concerning their health. Twice over. And ride it out. That's when you need to get closest to the Savior. That's when you need to trust God. Now what happens is Elimelech makes a bad choice, a poor choice, leads his family out of the land of Judah, leads them to the southeast into the land of Moab, the country of the Gentiles. Not only did he go there, he led his wife there. He leads his two boys there. They end up marrying Moabites, and it doesn't end well for one of them. Although it doesn't end well for him, it does end well for Ruth, all right? But they go into the land of Moab. So there Elimelech dies. Now she's a widow, talking Naomi now. She's got two boys. They choose Gentile wives, and she becomes disillusioned. And that's what happens when you get out of the will of God. You become disillusioned. You fall into despair. There is confusion. Everything has gone wrong for Elimelech and Naomi. It began what I just read, and I'm not going to read any more about that. It is a 10-year struggle. It is 120 months of being out of touch with God. A child of the king living like a pauper. A life of emptiness. Wife. Kids, everything going wrong. Trust God when that happens. I don't know. You know, I could say amen right here and the message would be over. A lot of people would be happy with that, but it's not over. That somebody here this morning needs to hear that. Don't run to Moab. Don't. The world, the flesh, and the devil will promise you everything. They'll promise you popularity and wealth. They'll promise you whatever it is. They'll promise anything. They'll tell you anything you need to hear. Teachers having itching ears, but they don't own a grain of sand. Don't give the devil the keys to your house. He doesn't have the keys to his own house. Man, don't follow him. Everything has gone wrong for Elimelech, and everything has gone wrong for Naomi, and I know it, and you know it. Behind every face is a story, a life with baggage. And we create those good times and those bad times, and there's confusion. Look at verse 7, chapter 1. I'll read verse 6 too. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She's going to leave Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Oh, fancy that. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now she's thinking right. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead, that's their sons, and with me. God bless you. Go home, hug them, kiss them. Tears. Verse 9 says, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And she said, yes, you come with me to the land of Judah. That's what she should have said. But she's disillusioned, and she's confused. And she's been led to the land of Moab by her spiritual leader, her husband. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband and also tonight and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. That is not a true statement. The hand of God has not gone out against Naomi. Naomi has gone out against the hand of God. She's disillusioned. She's confused. Things aren't adding up. Skip over to verse 20 of chapter 1. She gets back to the land of Judah, and look at what they say. Verse 19 says, so they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them and said, is this Naomi? Naomi's come home. They recognize her. Verse 20 says, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. She's got it all wrong. Her focus is all wrong. She got that way in Moab. She no longer trusted the Lord God Jehovah. She never should have told her daughters to go back and worship their old gods in Moab. And that's what she did. Confusion abounds about the will of God. There are some things that are very obvious. I don't need to belabor these things, but for anybody that's new, you need to know this. There are some things that you know you ought to do because they are right. You do them because they are the known will of God. Number one, get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. Number two, after salvation, get baptized. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the fact is, after salvation is baptism. That is not salvation, but be obedient. Get a prayer closet. I've preached all this stuff before. Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 6, enter into your prayer closet and close the door. That is a known will of God. You have that prayer time with God. Salvation, obedience, I get baptized. I have a prayer closet. I'm to be a Bible student, study to show thyself, approve unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These are the known will of God. It is the will of God for everybody within the sound of my voice this morning. Get saved, get baptized, have a prayer closet, have a study time, study the word of God, feast on the word of God. Join the church, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That is the known will of God. Be a witness, Mark 16, 15. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's the known will of God. 2 Peter 3, 18. Grow in grace. That's the known will of God. All the incidentals that you plug in between those things, those are the things, that's our pilgrimage. That's following God. So number one, the confusion, lay it aside. If you've not done any of those things I just said, You need to do it this morning. Get saved. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. If you've not done that, you need to have a prayer closet. You need to have a prayer, a Bible time. You need to join the church. You need to evangelize. You need to grow in grace. Those are all things that I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt. I stand before you as your pastor and tell you this. That's what God wants you to do. Amen. Every single person here, that's what God wants you to do. Amen. That is the will of God. They go to Moab out of the will of God. They should have stayed in Judah. For some reason, Elimelech is chasing opportunity. He goes to Moab. He's there 10 years. Everything goes wrong. He dies. Pretty soon, and his sons marry Moabites. And pretty soon, they die. And now here's Naomi all by herself. And then the law of the kinsman redeemer comes in. That's next Sunday. Boy, that is what a message of grace. The law of the kinsman redeemer. And I say this because I don't preach it this morning. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He is the reason we're going to heaven. You're going to hear about that Old Testament law, God's idea. I'll preach that next Sunday morning. 5 steps of getting closer to God. But as a child of God, everything has gone wrong. He's chosen wrong. Because he chooses wrong, there is more and more confusion. Proverbs 14, verses 12 through 16. Don't turn there. Just write it down. Then that confusion comes with following, not following God, but following the flesh, the world, and the devil. So here's Naomi. She's ashamed. She's confused. She's disillusioned. Sin does that. And maybe that's you this morning. You feel like you're out of touch with God. You show up to church, and you're like an outsider. It doesn't have to be that way. You go all week long with ever consulting God. Here's your prayer time. God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. Amen. And I'm as guilty as the next guy. I don't use those words, but sometimes when we return thanks at the table, there's not a word of it that's meant. And that's our prayer time. That's our prayer closet. Maybe you're not witnessing. Maybe you're not studying. You feel distant from God. Confusion abounds. The way of the transgressor is hard, but God can take our missteps and still use them for good if we repent. And that last part is the big part. If we come back to God, if we repent. Ruth had great faith. Look at verses 16 through 18. You hear this at weddings sometimes. Listen to what Ruth says. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She says to her mother-in-law, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. Don't make me go. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. Talking about the Jews. And thy God, my God. He's talking about Jehovah. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. What total commitment. Ruth just pours her heart out to Naomi. Don't make me go. I worship your God. I worship the Lord God Jehovah. Somehow she got that. Somehow she got that probably from Naomi. Maybe in a weak sense from her husband. I don't know that. But somehow she got that, and she's turning to the Lord God. She trusted Christ. Look what it says in chapter 2 and verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work. And this is Boaz speaking here to Ruth. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So we read that Ruth is a woman of God. Ruth is someone who, in spite of all the Moabite gods around her, learned to trust the God of Israel. Ruth is someone that actually shames her mother-in-law in her devotion to the King, to Jesus, to our Savior. And she calls out, she says, and it's obvious to Boaz. Boaz sees this when they go back into the land. And Boaz says, the God of Israel in whom you have trusted. It is very obvious. Everything has gone wrong for Naomi. Confusion was abounding. She's ashamed. She's disillusioned. She's disappointed. isn't hard to read between the lines. Other than these two daughter-in-laws, she's alone. Her husband led her there. God took him home. God took her two sons home. She has no way to provide for herself. But the law of the kinsman redeemer, God has a plan for the orphans and the widows of Israel, the poor and the maimed and the blind. And it's a powerful, powerful message. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We read of God's loving care. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz, tribe of Judah. Kinsman redeemer. I'll build on it next week. God thought of everything. They didn't depend on the government back then. God thought of everything among his people. Verse 2 says, and Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean. Now Ruth had a great work ethic. You heard about that work ethic last week. This catches Boaz's attention. Next week's message. Ruth said, Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light upon, in other words, they had an encounter, upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now understand, this is all unbeknownst to Ruth. Ruth doesn't know any of this. Doesn't know that he's even a kinsman. This is God in his loving care, taking care of Ruth. And I said this last Sunday, maybe it was the Sunday before. God who knows every sparrow that falls from the sky. God who calls the stars by name knows exactly who you are. The God who knows the number of hairs upon our head knows exactly who his children are. And he watches over them. And he protects them. And I just got to put this whole chapter together and tell you this. God cares for his children better than any earthly father cares for his children here in this world. Dad's going to let you down sooner or later. Somehow along the way, dad is going to make a wrong choice or misjudge a situation, and he's going to let you down just because he's a sinner saved by grace, because he's got feet of clay just like everybody else. You're to honor him. He's your elder. He's older than you. He knows what life is about. But just human, just human. We're all that way. But there's a God in heaven who will never let you down. There's a Father who knows your every need, and he knows yourself better than you know yourself. Man, don't ever leave the homeland to go to the land of Moab. I think Elimelech thought he was doing the right thing, not spiritually. He left the homeland and brought his family to a land where they worshiped idols. But there was God taking care of Ruth. I got to somehow close this off where I didn't want to close it off, but all things do work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And what Boaz tells Ruth as he begins to understand she's a hard worker, she's moral, of high character, she worships the God of Boaz. He understands that. She asked permission to be there, and they used to glean in the corners of the field, whatever the reapers left behind, that was for the poor, and she was there from sunup to sundown. She was a hard worker, and she caught the eye of Boaz. Boaz not even knowing that he is her kinsman redeemer as of yet. But he gives some instructions here in chapter 2. He says in verse 8, Ruth, you reap from my field. You don't go anywhere else. He says in verse 9, you'll dwell under my protection. Verse 9, you will drink of my water. Verse 14, you will eat at my table. She goes back and tells her mother-in-law, shows her what he gives her, handfuls on purpose, comes to about 7 or 9 gallon of barley corn, and she's all excited, and they give glory to God because God is meeting their need. We have a great kinsman redeemer. I'm trying to figure out how to end this message right now because I'm out of time. So here's what I'll do. It is really this simple. You've drifted from God. Come back to where you need to be. You went to the land of Moab. Don't stay there 10 years. Don't wait for everything to go wrong. It did for Elimelech. And come back to the homeland. Come back to where God can bless you again. You can drink his water. You can eat at his table. You can be under his protection again and know the full blessing of God. It gets better. That's next Sunday morning's message. And it's actually the story of a mom telling her daughter how to catch this guy for a husband. It's a parent arranging the marriage of her daughter and says, you've got to do these five things. You do these five things, he'll fall in love with you. Next week, getting close to Christ. This week, no matter who you are, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, if you'll come home, there's a Heavenly Father waiting for you. Much like the prodigal son's father. You know what? I want to share the story that I've preached here before multiple times. I don't think recently, and if it was, bear with the old man as he goes through the story again. What a picture of Jesus. It's a story of a young man, 16, 17, maybe 18 years of age, never read about the age. And it was about 100 years ago, right here in this country. Had an argument with his very godly father, farmer. In the heat of the moment, he struck his dad, knocked him to the floor. His father, laying on the floor, getting up, wiping the blood, said, son, you'll have to go. He very haughtily packed up all his bags and got the next car or train or whatever it was out of town. He'd been gone for years. His dad prayed for him every day. A soul winner found that young man. He'd eaten of the pig slop that the world has to offer, and he finally came to himself and realized there's nothing here for me of any eternal value. The soul winner gave him the gospel. For the first time, it made sense. He bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. He's on the train. He's going home. There's an old man sitting across from him in the train car there and said, son, you look troubled. The old man just happened to be a godly old deacon. He said, I am. He said, tell me your story. Told him to rehearse the whole story and how he'd gotten born again. He found the Lord and he's going home. He said, well, what's the problem? He said, I wrote my father a letter. In that letter, I said, Dad, I don't deserve to be part of your family. But if you'll forgive me, there's an old apple tree right by the train tracks. If you'll just tie a white flag to that apple tree, I'll know I'm forgiven and I can come home. And he said, old man, I can't look. It's around that next curve. That's the home place. Would you look for me? And the old guy looked. The train came around the corner, and he said, son, you ain't got a thing to worry about. There is a white flag tied on every limb of that tree. And underneath that tree is an old man with a white bedsheet waving back and forth. He said, son, come home. God in heaven, no matter how far you've drifted from God, whether you've lived in the land of the Moabites for 10 years or 10 days, no matter how far you've drifted, God in heaven, like the father of the prodigal son, he'll run out and he'll meet you. He'll kill the fatted calf. He'll put a robe on your back again and a ring on your finger and shoes on your feet. But you do have to repent. Come home. Don't learn the lesson that Elimelech had to learn.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.